you probably know that the Tripitaka, the three baskets of Buddhist scriptures, consists of a Sutra Pitaka, a Vinaya Pitaka, and Abhidharma Pitaka. The Sutra Pitaka, which is the collection of discourses of the Buddha, consists of five great collections. The first is the Digha Nikaya, the collection of long discourses. The second is the Majjhima Nikaya, the collection of medium-length discourses. Now, in the Majjhima Nikaya, in the collection of medium-length discourses, of which there are 151, there's a rather interesting discourse called the Arya Parisana Sutta. And it is of rather special interest because it's what we may describe as an autobiographical discourse. In it, the Buddha himself is represented as relating the story of his own life, especially from his earlier days at home, in the palace with his parents, until the time of his great enlightenment. In this particular discourse, the Arya Parisana Sutta, he describes how he left home, how he became a wandering monk, and how he strove and struggled for enlightenment, practiced various terrible self-mortifications, and so on. It's rather interesting that in this particular autobiographical discourse, there's no mention made about the famous four sights. You all know the story, how the Buddha is supposed, or rather the Bodhisattva, is supposed to have sallied forth one fine morning in his chariot with his charioteer, and then to have seen successively the sick man, the old man, the corpse, and then the monk, the wandering ascetic. Well, in this particular account, there's no description of these four sights at all. The text gives, what we would describe as a comparatively naturalistic, even humanistic, description of how the Buddha came to give up the household life. It represents him, in his own words, as simply reflecting. It was a purely internal process, not connected, so far as this account is concerned, with anything external, anything which he saw, or anything which he heard. A purely subjective process going on within the depths of his own mind. The Buddha relates how one day he was sitting at home in the palace, apparently withdrawn from his relations, his friends, his associates, sitting alone, perhaps under a tree in the compound, perhaps in the evening when it's very cool, very calm, very quiet in India, and just reflecting. And the text represents him as reflecting in this way. Well, what am I? What am I doing? How am I behaving? I myself am a being subject to birth. That's obvious. I've been born. No one can deny that. I'm subject to old age. One day I shall grow old. I'm subject to sickness. I sometimes fall ill. And one day I shall die. I'm subject to death. So this is the sort of being I am. I'm mortal. Subject in this way to birth, old age, sickness, and death. So being such a being, what do I do? What is my whole life? What is my whole course of existence? Being myself subject to birth, I pursue those things which are also subject to birth. Being myself subject to old age, I pursue those things which are also subject to old age. Being myself subject to sickness, decay, I pursue those things which also are subject to sickness, to decay, in the same way. And being myself subject to death, I pursue those things, those beings, who also are subject to death. So this was his first line of reflection, his first line of thought, that being himself mortal, being himself conditioned, he pursued, he was interested in, he followed after, even lusted after, thirsted after, those things which also were mortal, which were conditioned. But then he goes on to relate to his interlocutor, who is a Jain ascetic. he goes on to relate how another, a different, almost a contrary train of reflection or train of thought arose. He says, it occurs to me, suppose now I was to do otherwise. Suppose now, being myself subject to birth, I go in search of that which is not subject to birth, which has no origin, which is timeless. Suppose myself being subject to old age, I go in search of that which never changes, which is not so subject. Suppose being myself subject to sickness, to decay, I go in search of that in whose perfection there is no diminution. Or suppose finally being myself subject to death, I go in search of that which is everlasting, that which is eternal, that which is not subject to death as I am. So this was his second line of reflection, his second line of thought. And he relates how very shortly afterwards, as a result of thinking in these two ways, reflecting in these two ways, he left home. There's no story in this sutta about stealing out at night, or about going off on horseback. He simply says that though his parents, that's his father and his foster mother, were weeping and bewailing, he didn't mind that. He put on the yellow robes, he shaved his head, cut off his beard, and went forth from the home into the homeless life. So this is the story, in brief, of what we may call the Buddha's conversion. Conversion means literally a turning round, a turning about, not externally, not just from one religion to another, but internally, from the conditioned to the unconditioned. The Bodhisattva, as he then was, realized that he was a conditioned being, realized that he was spending his whole time, his whole energy, going in pursuit of conditioned things, so he therefore decided to change it all, decided to go in search instead of the unconditioned. So it was as simple as that, stripped of all its mythological accretions, stripped of all the rather gorgeous legends which have accumulated about it in the course of centuries. The Buddha's conversion was as simple as that. But though it was simple, though its simplicity is almost classic, as we may say, though it was simple, it certainly wasn't easy, we can be sure of that. Here and there in other portions of the scriptures, we get indications that a terrible struggle went on in the Buddha's mind before he made his final decision.